Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and school is back in session. And if you're a parent trying to help your kid with their math homework, it can sometimes feel like this.
That's not the way you're supposed to do it, Dad. They want us to do it this way.
I don't know that way. Why would they change math? Math is math.
It's okay,
math,
Dad.
Is math.
I'll just wait for Mom to get back.
What? Well, she won't understand it any better than I do.
For those of you who don't recognize that clip, or for whom it doesn't strike right at your heart as a parent, it's a scene from The Incredibles 2, when Mr. Incredible is getting frustrated over helping his son Dash with his math homework. And it's a common experience that can leave many parents feeling discouraged. But a new book wants to help. It's called Adding Parents to the Equation. And it's written by Hilary Kreisberg, mathematics professor and director of the Center for Mathematics Achievement at Lesley University, and Matthew Beyranovand, who is the K-12 Mathematics Department Coordinator for Chelmsford Public Schools and a Mathematics and Education Professor at UMass Lowell and Fitchburg State. They both join me now in the studio. Hilary, Matthew, welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you so much. We really appreciate the opportunity.
Absolutely. We want to hear from you out there on this. Do you struggle to help your kids with their math homework? Are you an educator who gets complaints from parents about that math homework and trying to help their kids with it? Maybe you're a student who's trying really hard to explain your math homework to your parents. You can call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or you can send us a tweet at Radio Boston. Okay, so why did the two of you write this book? Hilary, go ahead.
Well, I think we should start with Matthew because he's the one who came and found me, actually.
So, Matthew, tell us.
Yeah, well, I wrote my first book for math teachers called Teach Math Like This, Not Like That. And I had a 3-book deal, and the second book was something that we found, both myself and my publisher, there was a true need for, because parents, as we heard in that clip, don't truly understand the way we do math today. And we'll talk a lot about that during this segment. And so I said to myself, well, I need to bring in myself an expert. I found Hilary, and we just really bonded together and wrote this book as a way to say, parents, here's a resource for you so you can understand the best way to help your child both with the content and the approach.
And okay.
And
anywhere I would go, I'd be in the supermarket on vacation, I'd hear parents complaining about the new math as they've donned it. And I figured if we wrote a book about it, we could at least get the statements out on what is really happening. Why has math shifted in the terms of what parents see?
Okay, so this is a book for both parents and educators. Yeah.
Yeah, we found educators have loved it too, actually, but we originally wrote it for parents.
And you talked, Hilary, just now about, you know, you heard from parents in grocery stores and in public spaces. What, Matthew, were we seeing in the classroom that might also suggest that parents were struggling at home? How does that manifest in the classroom?
Well, to answer that question, I first want to begin by talking about the way we teach the math. Math is still math. It hasn't changed. But we focus more now on the conceptual understanding, the why we do math the way we do it. Why are these the procedures, and less about just memorizing formulas. So what I noticed as an educator is that kids would come home, do their homework, come back, and have these different ways of solving it with a traditional algorithm, which would really hinder their ability to understand the math. So we realized parents didn't really know how to best support their kids.
All right. So I want to talk about this for a second because I have two kids who are high school age now. We went through this experience as a family in our home. My husband and I didn't learn wrong, right?
Correct.
And I have to tell you, as a parent, for you to say, well, you helped your kids solve it another way and you're damaging them when you send them back into the classroom, as a parent, it gets my back up a little bit, right? So how are parents responding to the arguments
sure.
that you're making in the book?
Yeah, I would say we're not saying that for sure. What we're saying now is that the way we're teaching math is significantly different than the way you and I had learned math.
And how.
Yeah, well, we're teaching the why before the how. So instead of teaching adding and subtracting, where we're, you know, we use those terms carry and borrow, and we're very familiar with those terms, we learned how to do it really fast when we were younger. Now kids learn that later on. And first they learn the what, how the why, and how is that working? What does place value actually mean? And when I'm carrying that one What am I actually doing? And so they learn to be able to apply the math skills in real world situations. And as our world is changing, you know, we're globalizing real fast with technology, and a lot of technology is replacing human jobs where we're computing. And so we need to be able to prepare students for a future that is more than just computing. It's reasoning and thinking through what's happening in front of us.
So 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. If you want to join the conversation, are you struggling to help your kids with math at home? What kind of help would you like to have from your child's teachers so you can better support your child at home? So, you know, the implementation of the Common Core curriculum in 2011 was a catalyst for a lot of confusion at home, between parents and classrooms. It's faced resistance since then. Do we have to accept it as is and work around it? And is this part of that change? Or is there something to be said for allowing other methods than what is, you know, whatever you're teaching in the classroom right now, Matthew?
So we are absolutely in favor of multiple ways of solving problems and multiple strategies. And I think the Common Core gets a bad name, a bad rap, mainly because of the way that it was implemented.
Correct.
But we absolutely...
So wait, explain that a little bit.
Sure. So it was really implemented in a way where it was just forced upon without the training and professional development for both educators and parents to understand what it's all about. In its heart, in its root, it really has many great ideas, in particular the standards for mathematical practice as to how we should be approaching problem solving and how we should be learning. And back to that idea that let's first understand what a fraction is and why we need to find a common denominator when we're adding them. And then eventually we want to learn those procedures, those shortcuts, if you will. So it's basically flipping it, where when I learned mathematics, it was all procedural. And until I got into teaching, I never understood why the formula for area of a circle was pi times radius squared. Now we teach so we understand the concepts, and then we move to the traditional algorithms.
All right, go ahead, and then we'll take a call. Go ahead.
Other issue that came about when the Common Core came out was that it also was coupled with a change in testing. And so what ended up happening was this piloting of new tests and new standards happened at once, and I think parents and educators conflated the two. The Common Core is a separate issue. It's a set of standards that just tells teachers, here's what students should know at every grade level in this particular learning progression, because teaching mathematics has a sequence so that we can really develop a strong understanding.
Okay, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to join the conversation. Matt from Jamaica Plain, what do you want to share with our guests?
So I remember very clearly when my daughter came home from kindergarten and she put her hands on her hips and said, this is hard. I don't understand. And my response as a parent was not to help her at home. My response at home was to say, you know, Dad's not there in the classroom today to hear how your teacher asked you to do this work. I'm not going to be there tomorrow to help you with this. I might be able to give you a right answer, but I'm not doing my kid any favors by helping them in a way that's half helping. So I think we need to better step back from it, actually, is my comment.
So, Matt, Hillary's nodding at you. Let me let her respond to you.
Yeah, Matt, we are right on board with you. And I want to clarify, when we say adding parents to the equation, we're not talking about being more and more involved. What we're really saying here is that we didn't really involve, as educators, the we being educators, didn't involve parents in the beginning when those new standards came about and when teachers started changing the way they're teaching math. And so our philosophy is, if we want kids to go home and really understand the mathematics, we have to be partners with parents, and parents have to understand what's happening as well. And so what you just said there is really a beautiful statement. I love that you pushed back a little bit and you said, you know what, I'm not going to be there tomorrow. And so you need to figure this out too. You did exactly what we suggest in our book.
So, Matt, one of the things that can be important to a parent is for their child to recognize that they have knowledge and authority, right? That the parent is somebody the child can turn to for advice and guidance. Parents learned math in a different way than the students are learning it in class today. So how do you convince parents to let go of that need or desire to be authoritative? And what I mean by that is show that they know what they're doing and that they can help. How do you help parents let go?
The most important thing that they can do is to change their own mindset. So often we hear parents saying things like, I can't do math. I can't do the math that you're doing. Or even things like, I hate math.
Okay, I can't do the math.
Yes. And you can.
But hold on. But if you are the role model for your child, and your child who looks up to you says, oh my gosh, my mom or my dad can't, they're saying they can't do the math.
Yeah.
How can that help me? We never hear people going around saying things like, hey, guess what? I don't know how to read or I don't know how to write. But yet it's socially acceptable to say those things. So the first step is to be able to, if you have those feelings, don't share those, because then it empowers the kids to accept the fact that, oh, I'm not a math person, and everybody truly is a math person.
Or share your struggles and share how you overcame those struggles.
With
how you're working to overcome those struggles, even currently. That's fine.
Okay. 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. To join the conversation, I'm going to try to get this right. Samara from Providence, Rhode Island. Did I get it right?
It's Samara.
Samara. I do apologize. I really did want to get that right. Samara, what do you have to say with our guests?
No problem. I just want to say that someone with a neurodivergent brain, such as someone with ADD or ADHD, often approaches mathematical equations in a way that I think Common Core is trying to demonstrate. It's kind of thinking of the idea of borrowing numbers and those kind of concepts. I typically tend to use, and that's why I tended to struggle with learning the traditional methods when I was growing up. So I think that it's not a bad idea per se. I think just the execution has been the struggle the past decade or so.
Thanks for that call, Samara. Matthew, you want to respond to that?
I do. So I absolutely agree with what she's saying. We learned with the traditional algorithm, which is abstract terms, symbolic representations, and certain people succeed in that particular format. The Common Core and the way we do math today in schools really promotes the idea of multiple modes of representation. So concrete representation, let's use manipulatives. Let's try to do it as a chart or as a table or as a graph. Let's look at those different ways to solve it, and whichever method works best for you, go with that method. So for someone who traditionally likes the memorizing the algorithm and it works for them and they can do it, okay, fine. But for most kids, that's not how they learn best. And we want to support parents to be able to show them the ways so they can help.
Let's take a couple more calls. Hugh from Nashua, you're on with our guests. Go ahead. What do you want to say?
Well, hi there. Yes, I grew up in the 60s learning math, and that phrase the gentleman used about new math was something that was introduced to us, and much of what you're describing is how they're teaching today seems a lot like how I learned growing up in the 60s, and it seems to me we've kind of come full circle with some method of teaching.
Everything old is new again,
yeah,
Hugh.
Right?
That's a
yeah.
good point. Thanks. Jennifer from Worcester, let's add your voice, too. What do you want to say to our panelists?
Hi, I'm a mom of an 8-year-old. She just started third grade. And my problem with the new ways that they're doing math, they don't send home anything for the parents to explain how they're supposed to be helping their kids with their math. And I'd sit down with my daughter and I'd say, okay, well, how'd your teacher do it? And, oh, well, I don't remember. And it was like, well, where's the worksheet for the parents that explains this?
All right. So I think, Hillary, you've got some stuff about that in the book, actually.
Yeah, we have a lot about that in the book. And we're actually working on our next book, which is geared for school leaders and teachers to help them understand how do we add parents to this process. Because what you're stating there is what I see all the time in school districts around the country, that we often aren't educating parents enough. And that's something that educators, we need to take ownership of, and we need to do better. If you're a teacher listening and you have a classroom and you haven't sent home a letter to a parent about what you're doing in mathematics this year, make sure you get something out soon. It's the beginning of the year. This is your time to be proactive. It's really important that we as educators inform parents.
1-800-423-8255 to join the conversation. We'll take another call. Liz from Wayland, what's on your mind?
Hi, thanks for taking the call. This is a great show, great topic, and I really appreciate a refreshed approach to math, including more folks and their learning styles. But I have a couple points. The first one is, I think there are many kids at various levels that find math a very intuitive thing, and this focus on logic actually kind of impedes a place that they could really fly. By the same token, and my second point would be, I think the approach of math today where logic and the process is so important, I think that needs to be fleshed out in curriculum, in English, social studies, places like that, where there might be more this narrative bias and literature focus. I think it needs to be a bit more kind of well-rounded, basically.
Thanks for that, Liz. And I'm going to turn to Matthew for that, because I want to add to that. One of our questions was, well, this thinking process that you're trying to teach kids now, why does it have to be taught in math? Are there other subjects where instead that might be a better way to go? So that's like 17 things. Matthew, mm-hmm. you can just sort of answer all of those.
Absolutely.
He's good at that.
let me just start by talking about the idea of problem solving. To me, when we say, why are we learning math and how do we apply it to the real world? It's not so much, am I going to use this equation or this algebra in the real world? It's to teach the problem solving, critical thinking skills that then helps you become a better member of society. So not everything we do in math can be directly applied. And I do agree with that caller, Lynn, who talked about the idea of logic. And the way we teach math and the way we teach for understanding and the problem-solving skills really promotes that idea of logic and the way you can then interpret and then be able to explain your reasoning.
And this does permeate all other fields, not just mathematics. We just happen to be mathematics content experts, and so we focus on that.
So you're saying that this philosophy of teaching that's being taught through math now is being taught in the other subjects in primary school as well?
Yeah, the other subjects have also changed the way that they're working. You know, the way that we are thinking as society has to shift. Not just in math, but in every subject.
Okay, Matthew, you go ahead, and then I'm going to add a couple more calls here.
Yes, the next generation science standards, which just recently came out, really ties into both the math and the ELA standards, Common Core standards,
English
if you will.
English
language arts standards. So they tie in all together, and they really promote the same ideas there. So we're really trying to take these different subject areas and show how they're all linked together.
Okay, Gil from Martha's Vineyard, you're on the line with our panelists. What's on your mind?
Hi. Well, as a senior citizen and as an ex-school teacher and principal, when I had younger kids and my own kids, I simply asked them, when I didn't understand some of the concepts, I asked them to teach me. And that seemed to work very well. They felt empowered. They felt good about themselves. And I wasn't the expert. And I got to learn.
Gil, thanks for that encouraging call. I'm also going to add Kelly from Ipswich. Kelly, go ahead.
Hi, I just wanted to call. I've been an educator for about 20 years now, mostly math, but I've taught all the subjects from K through 8th grade. Math is the only subject that a parent will start a parent meeting with, well, I never was good at math,
yep.
So it's no wonder my son or daughter is no good at math. No one ever says, I never got good at science, I never got good at social studies. There's a panic around it, and it's because their education didn't include the foundational understanding that the Common Core is trying to implement now.
Thanks for that, Kelly. You were losing the quality of your line a little bit, so I'm going to let you go. But Hillary, you were nodding. I'll let you come in on that.
Kelly, you just nailed it, and you said it better than I could. We are doing the best that we can now that we know better.
And also, one of the chapters in our book talks about growth mindset, the work that's been developed first by Carol Dweck and now Joe Bowler, are both out of Stanford. And we really talk to the parents and share what ways you can promote growth mindset with your kids. And also so they're not thinking those things like, oh, I'm a math person or I'm not a math person.
So what is growth? Very briefly, what does growth mindset mean?
So there's two different types of mindsets. Fixed mindset, where you believe you're either a math person or you're not a math person. You have that ability or you don't have that ability. With a growth mindset, you believe that with hard work, with perseverance, you can do the math. When you make mistakes, it's part of the learning process, and that's okay. And so if we can have students believe that with that hard work, that you show perseverance, everybody can be successful at math. And if you can believe that, the results show that it actually will occur.
And okay, it's not just math. How many times a day do I say, I am not a morning person? Guess what? I could be if I really tried and made an effort.
So Hillary, let me ask you, we're hearing some echoes of parents, either teachers are saying they've heard this from parents or some of the parents are saying, I don't feel confident with my math skills.
Yeah.
So you're saying don't tell your kids you can't do math, but what tools do you use to help your children when you may not as a parent be confident in your own math abilities.
Sure. Well, I think that's why we wrote the book. The book really outlines what the new content is that the kids are learning and how to support that. We've also talked a lot about games. Games are a really great way to play with your child and see what they're doing and how they're learning. And you're going to learn more from your own child than you are from anywhere else because they're the ones in school learning these new methods. But we also want to, you know, get educators to be informing parents at home. So sending home a newsletter where you outline what you're going to be teaching and why this is different. And not only that, but how it relates to what we learned is really helpful.
Okay, Matthew, in our last 30 seconds, there's a chapter in the book about what parents can do at home. Lots of great stuff in it. But for that harried parent, maybe a single parent or somebody who's working two jobs, what is the one most important thing they can do to help at home?
Well, I would just echo what Hillary said in regards to games. I am a mathematician, a math educator, and I never do drill and kill with my kids at home. We play board games together that have mathematics enriched with it. We have Prime Climb. We have Tiny Polka Dot. We have King Domino. There's so many games, and by playing it, the mathematics is embedded in it, and then we can have those healthy conversations.
And you can watch some of those games that his kids are playing on our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/addingparents.
All right. That was Hillary Craig, mathematics professor and director of the Center for Mathematics Achievement at Lesley University, and Matthew Beyranavand, who's the K-12 Mathematics Department Coordinator for Chelmsford Public Schools. They're the authors of Adding Parents to the Equation. Thanks to you both.
Thank you for having us.
Great time. Thank you so much.
Stay tuned. There's more ahead.